This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Afternoon, Rutherford County, and probably all that noise you hear will be my guest in just a few minutes. They're discussing the show that's getting ready to come up, the All-Stars show. I want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shevville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. For a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars. And whether you buy a new or used car, the big, big advantage that Stan McNabb has, besides their service, is that they offer free tires and oil for the life of their vehicle, or your vehicle. Today, our guests are our very special guests. One is Lisa Mitchell, who is the director over Read to Succeed, in a very special program. And the our other guest is the one they kicked out earlier, be Ronnie Shaw, a real troublemaker, from what I can understand, and I can actually attest to it. Because actually, I was a part of the spelling bee a few years ago, and they rushed me out quite early. I think that I really didn't have the big name, Brian, that they were needing to stay on the show, so they gave me a word that was impossible to spell.
It just sounds like you can't spell. I'm not sure.
Well, I tell you what they do. They take you up there. They embarrass you on purpose. It's one of those things that you volunteer for, but you don't really know what you're getting into.
It's a spelling bee.
It is. It's a spelling bee.
So you,
but you want everything on an even. You want everything on an even keel.
Oh, I see.
Everybody has to have a fair playing field. They really do. Hmm. And I didn't. You know how great a speller I am.
I think you were handicapped before you went into that event.
Yes, I was. And you know, here at WGNS, mm-hmm. You have a large picture here, and it is. About the spelling bee here, and WGNS, and looks like John Hood is probably emceeing the bee, and that was back in 1951, is that right? And it's amazing how much it's grown, because you see all of these really bright people, Mrs. Ferris, Ms. McKee, Ms. Saunders, Ms. Estes, Sadie Jacobs, Gloria Anderson, Ira Daniel, Miss Sue McKee, again, Paul Carter, all of them extremely bright people. And what in the world do we have to offer now in the spelling bee? Who have you got that would be coming on as guest spellers?
Well, actually, first of all, let me just say thanks for having us on again. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure today.
As long as I don't ask you to spell anything, right?
Right.
So the Celebrity Bee, this is actually our fifth year for the Celebrity Bee, mm-hmm. and we use it as our fundraiser. It's an opportunity for us to get sponsorships and support mm-hmm. our programming. But really what we're trying to do is let the local citizenry know that their leaders think that literacy is important, and they're mm-hmm. proving it by being willing to get on stage and spell like mm-hmm. you did in your year. Mm-hmm. And no, we didn't mean to rush you off the stage at all. This year we've got four mayors spelling. Mm-hmm. Mayor Ernest Burgess will be spelling. Sina Mosley from Laverne will be spelling. Sam Toon from Eagleville and Tony Dover from Smyrna, our mayors who are spelling. Mm-hmm. We've got three winners from past years, including Vincent Windrow, who a lot of your listeners are familiar with, as well as a couple of runners-up from mm-hmm. prior years. Our theme this year was to do an all-star Celebrity Bee, where we're mostly bringing back people who have already spelled in the past and mm-hmm. have shown themselves to be good spellers or somehow entertaining. For mm-hmm. example, Coach Pete will be there from MTSU, and he is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. He is. He's one of the best speakers. I mean, he does the tour, and I've never seen him when he wasn't on his best. I mean, he is really such a great guy, and that's just the way he is. He's that way all the time. Now, you were, is it director? Is that the right title?
Yeah, we call the position that I was in and that Lisa is now in our mm-hmm. executive director. Mm-hmm. And that just really kind of means that we're in charge of everything when we're the person in charge. So that used to be me mm-hmm. For the first 8 years of Read to Succeed's life. And now it's Lisa, and she's been around since early spring of this mm-hmm. year.
Now, how is it, Lisa? Just pouring your way around now.
Oh, it's been everything I expected it to be, but a whole lot more. It's mm-hmm. Ronnie definitely had her hands full while she was there. She mm-hmm. got a lot of programs up and running, and I've tried to just make sure that I don't let her or any of the other supporters down and keep those not only going but growing. And you know, that's really what I'm trying to do is look at all the programs that are in place, and you know, how can we make them even better than they already are, and you know, what other needs are out there, what else do we need to be collaborating and working on, you know.
Now, what are your main focuses for Read to Succeed?
Well, our two major focuses mm-hmm. are adult literacy and family literacy. And what mm-hmm. I mean by that, in our adult literacy program, we actually have one-on-one tutor pairs where we work. We have an adult tutor and a learner, and they work, you know, together. They mm-hmm. work sometimes 2-3 times a week, sometimes once a week, whatever their schedule. But we bring the tutors in, and they go through a training process, and then our adult literacy coordinator, Shelley Stanley, will match the tutor with a learner, and that could be everything from personalities to time schedule to that particular learner's needs and that particular tutor's strengths. And they work to, I mean, they could be, we have learners right now from age 18 to probably well up into their 60s or 70s. We've had some even into their 80s. Mm-hmm. And they usually have certain things that they want to focus on as far as improving their skills. But that's our adult literacy side. We also have ESL classes as part of that. And then on the family literacy side, we work with the school system and with MTSU professors and students, and we bring literacy into the schools. And our primary focus is to involve the families in everything mm-hmm. that we do and show the parents that supporting those children and encouraging the reading is what is necessary. Outside the classroom, you've got to get that parent involvement. So we do family literacy nights and Families That Read Succeed programs, and like I said, we do those in conjunction usually with an MTSU professor and their class who's working for help me out here, Ronnie, service learning project hours mm-hmm. and they will plan the programs, and they'll usually be either a one big night event or we'll do like four consecutive, but these students are selected by the schools and by the teachers as the children that are the most in need. They're several grade levels behind in most instances in their reading skills, and we just work to improve that. Ronnie, what would you add to that?
No, I love hearing about our programs from your mouth. That's so great. Yeah. And of course, you know, some of the programs that our listeners are probably more familiar with are the programs that we do that promote literacy in general to the community as important.
Which, like, we just did. We just completed Reading in the Schools Day mm-hmm. and the reading rallies last Friday and Saturday. In fact, I was on WGNS last week promoting those two things. And on Friday, we had over 1,200 volunteers go into the schools and read in over 42 or 3 schools to over 25,000 students in a one-day period. So a lot of community involvement there. And then we followed that up on Saturday with reading rallies at all three libraries at Smyrna, Laverne, and at Lineball. And it was just a fun day of the kids coming out and meeting their favorite book character, and they had all kinds of climbing walls and, you know, free snacks and giveaways and just a day to, for again, the family to come out and, you know, really not only and find out everything that's going on in our libraries and all the things that's involved there, and just to promote literacy. And then we've got Unplug and Read that we do every spring, where we encourage businesses, families, just everybody to just get rid of the electronics for, you know, pledge a certain number of hours on our website that they're going to get rid of the electronics for the
good
week.
For you.
And yeah, and you know, pull out a book and read it together.
Except, of course, don't unplug your radio.
Not on your radio, and not all day. We're just suggesting that you, you know, pick a time period, you know, during that week, and focus on reading. We do have a new essay contest that we're just going to be actually introducing in the schools in the next couple of weeks for middle school. And that's going to be exciting because, you know, when you were in school, how you were always told what your required reading was going to be. And you always thought it was like the worst book ever that had been selected. Well, this
Moby Dick.
You've got some memories. My son just finished Animal Farm. I think that would be on his list, though I thought it was a good book. But anyway, this is going to be, the essay contest is going to be geared to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And they're going to be writing on the subject of what they think should be required reading for middle schoolers, and writing a persuasive paper, you know, that their teachers more than likely will read, but we will judge them and explain and really talking about a book that they think, you know, made a difference in their life, or, you know, for whatever reason is should be required reading other than what they are reading. So that's something new that's going to be added to the programs.
I love that Read to Succeed is starting to focus even more on the middle school age. I think that so many people out there realize how important it is to read to their little children. And of course it is to read to your children. Even when they know how to read, reading to your children is still really important for their literacy development. And I think a lot of times we forget, once kids hit middle school, that we still need to support their literacy activities. And of course, we have our sixth grade spelling bee that we do every year in the spring. But the more we can help teachers and parents to support their middle schoolers' literacy activities, whether it's reading or writing, I think the more we help to create lifelong learners and help to create people who will stay in school longer and then move on to having, you know, better jobs and better pay and better health care. All those things are attached to literacy.
Do you think our parents are doing a good job with their children while they're in the school?
No, I do. I think it's really hard to be a parent these days, and all three of us here are parents. We can attest to it. But I think it's getting even harder. Parents are carrying one, two, sometimes three jobs. Plus, there's a lot of single parents out there who are both working and taking care of their kids. Finding time to read to your child can be so difficult. And sometimes it means that you're not spending as much time, let's say, cooking a healthy meal. And here we are talking about childhood obesity and the importance of healthy eating. So what, you know, are you going to do a quick meal that might not be so healthy, but save some time for reading? Well, I would say sometimes it is important to do that, to make it a habit of reading to your child every night. Even if you're not a super comfortable reader, if the parent, the grandparent, whoever's caring for the child is not a great reader, you can still turn the pages of a book and tell a story. There's always just even talking to your child about what's going on, what you're hearing on the news helps with their literacy. So I do think parents are struggling with the responsibility, but I do think they're trying.
I've noticed that, say, in your magnet schools, I think that's one of the major differences that you can see is the parental involvement with those kids in the magnet schools.
Well, and there's no doubt that the children who are living in homes where the parents have not gone on to college or graduate school, it can be harder on them. There are studies that show that the higher the education level of the parent, the better small children will go to school ready to learn. But that doesn't mean that a parent who hasn't been to college can't do a super duper good job. They certainly can. And that's why I always stress that even if you're not a good reader, you can still share literacy with your children and help them to even get beyond where you've gone.
Well, you know, we're in an age right now where government seems to be putting more pressure on the teachers to perform in the classroom. And of course, as you know, and you just stated, that the parental involvement has changed because of all the pressures for the homes over the last 20 or 30 years. And do you see that the way things have changed as far as the teachers, and we're primarily talking about testing and those type things, do you think that we're on the right track with that, or do you think that and here we go. I'll say a few words before you get into it. I'll say that we have been very blessed to have the teachers that we have here in this community. And as far as I'm concerned, they raised the bar up to the level that is appropriate in this particular community. And I think that the teachers have gotten a bad rap for what they have been able to produce, because it takes a whole lot more than what they're looking for at this time. And as we all know, sitting at this table, not every student is created equal as far as his or her learning ability. And they may have extraordinary skills in other areas, but sometimes I don't think that we address that particular area. And we want everybody to be successful. That's what it's all about. And every kid has particular skills.
Of course. That's absolutely true. And I would say that there is a place for testing. Mm-hmm. And I would also say that if we look at kind of the history of education since the very beginning of U.S. history, what we stress comes and goes. Mm-hmm. And so I would hypothesize that the pendulum right now is just swinging towards evaluation and testing, and that the pendulum will swing back to an understanding that we need to take care of our high-achieving students as well as our students who struggle, mm-hmm. and that there are many ways to learn, and that there are some teachers who have skills that really will show up on the evaluation process in their students' TCAP scores, mm-hmm. and there are other teachers who have other skills, mm-hmm. and those are just as important, and they may not show up in scores. They may show up in that teacher who's really good at dealing with the kids who are struggling. And maybe they're not struggling academically, maybe they're struggling socially. Mm-hmm. And in that teacher, they find someone who cares about them. And in fact, the relationship with that teacher is what keeps them coming to school every day. And for some kids, that's all we can hope for. Doesn't mean we shouldn't keep the bar just above each child's head. We should, mm-hmm. but the bar needs to be in a different place for every child. I would agree with that.
Very good answer.
And that's one of the things that I loved about reading in the schools day, too, is because there are so many wonderful things going on in our schools, and that's mm-hmm. an opportunity for, you know, many community members to get into the schools and talk with the teachers and see what's going on. And, you know, it was great for me. That was my first reading in the schools day. I was able to make it to about 8 different schools, and
wow.
It was, and the kids are excited, and, you know, that's up through 6th grade that we do that, and that's the reason, you know, that we've won it. We had, at the teachers' conference before school started this year, we had several requests from middle school teachers, you know, because it does kind of drop off after 6th grade, is, you know, what can you do to, you know, have more involvement of these middle schoolers? And so that's where the essay contest came from, and that's where we ended up going with our one book selection for this mm-hmm. year. Our one book committee, which is, we do a one book community read every year, and I'm not sure, Ronnie, how many years that's been
this
going on.
This is our fourth year.
Okay. And we had a committee that did a lot of reading before they made a decision, and this year's book is, you know, actually multi-generational and will very much appeal to those middle schoolers. So that was something else that we were trying to accomplish with that choice, was to get the middle schoolers involved in encouraging their parents to read a book, or the parents to, you know, read a book that was also interesting to their children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just anything we can do to keep that level of parent involvement up. And any of the teachers will tell you that, you know, that's the reason we stress family involvement with all of our literacy programs, is that, you know, when the parents are involved, you know, the student, however limited, you know, mm-hmm. their learning abilities, they will do better with that parent involvement.
Do you find a lot of people post-school Do you find a lot of them that are having trouble reading now? And would you say that that's part of their inability to become successful?
I think, well, when I was in the corporate world, I saw it all the time. And I know that there's a lot of students that go into the university system and have to take remedial courses and, you know, go back and do some reading comprehension and those type of things to get those skills up. Because, you know, let's face it, if your reading skills are not what they need to be, or your comprehension levels, etc., you're not going to excel in any subject. You know, you can't do your history, you can't do your economics. You know, if you can't read your textbook, you're going to struggle in everything.
Yeah, there's no doubt that people who struggle with reading, they're the folks who are not going to get the promotion at work. Mm-hmm. And the studies show that low literacy levels are connected to difficulties getting proper health care. Mm-hmm. They're connected to income, ability to stay in school. Mm-hmm. We do get people in the adult literacy program who have high school diplomas and who are still struggling. Now, I will say, in all fairness, most of those people did not get their diploma in Rutherford County. Mm-hmm. They may have come from other places. And, you know, who's to say that a person who works really super hard and maybe somewhat limited cognitively or intellectually shouldn't go ahead and get a diploma? Mm-hmm. But they still may not be reading super well.
But when you go into the university level, do they look at that with your ability to be able to understand what you're reading?
Yes, sir, they do. And MTSU, through the university school, and Dean Mike Boyle, mm-hmm. does a really, really good job at helping students who are struggling with their basic academics.
Where do you get, I mean, it sounds like the problem is a whole lot more than what I even conceived it. Where in the world do you find your resources to tackle this problem?
Well, that's a great question. Of course, that's why Read to Succeed is around right there. It is a big problem. Lots of people don't know about it. Some studies through the census show that 44% of adults in Rutherford County read at or below the average third grade level, which is very...
Goodness. Every time I share that statistic, one can believe that. And it's a very scary statistic.
And our mission of Read to Succeed has always been, when you ask about how we manage the problem, is to bring in as many people as possible from the community to help us do our work. And that is how we succeed.
And sometimes you kind of reach a low level because you asked me to participate in this, and it's you guys are hurting.
No, sir, that's not correct.
I want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And it's at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And what they do is they come into your home and they take care of the normal duties that you would have in your home that you no longer can take care of, whether you're older or maybe you're having some illness at the time. But if you will call 713-4639, or pull up the website at www.athomecaretennessee.com, you can get the information and get started where you can have care in your home 24/7, and you certainly can raise your ability to continue at home and enjoy the lifestyle that you deserve.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original equipment. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis.
First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
It's Friday, the last day of the month, and the Walnut Grove Missionary Baptist Church invites everyone to come over for dinner tonight, 5:30 until 8 for their feeding fellowship. They're at 2480 Twin Oak Drive. The 70s off-Broadway hit Godspell continues tonight through Sunday night at 7 o'clock. That's over at the Fellowship United Methodist Church on the New Salem Highway. It's based on the Gospel of Matthew and features the hit song, Day by Day. The musical Godspell, tonight through Sunday night at 7, at the Fellowship United Methodist Church. They also have 2 o'clock afternoon matinees on Saturday and Sunday. The church is at 2511 Highway 99. For information, call 893-4659. Hey, the Saturday Marketplace is tomorrow morning from 8 until noon on the Murfreesboro Square. That's in the morning. And you need to bring in the clowns tomorrow afternoon at the St. Clair Street Senior Center. In fact, the grandparents should bring the grandchildren to see the clowns. And this is the big MTSU homecoming weekend. The homecoming parade is at noon tomorrow, and the big game with the University of Memphis is at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And you'll hear it on WGNS. Tomorrow afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock, it's the Kittrell Volunteer Fire Department's Halloween Bash. This is at the fire department, 4 until 9 tomorrow night. Lots of great food, the best chili you ever tasted, and some fun games, too. And that's at 8067 the Woodbury Highway in Reedyville. Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Mainly sunny this afternoon. Temperatures hold fairly steady with gusty northwest winds. Tonight, mainly clear. A low near 45. Sunny on Saturday, high near 64. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 70.
Thinking about retirement living for yourself or a loved one? Think Adams Place in Murfreesboro. Retirement and assisted living, rehabilitation, and long-term care are available. Adams Place Retirement Community. Senior living at its finest.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you?
And you're listening to John Blankenship and friends. We're talking about Avon Lane, Ken and Sarah Frizzell, Billy Yearwood. And what they're doing over there is they're entertaining the group at the Readable Mill. And if you would like to go and have the best time you've ever had, go back a couple of hundred years in history, and that will be next year. Take about a 10-15 minute drive down John Bragg Highway, and then turn left at the sign about 2 more miles, and you'll go into a place where they make all their food, and they'll have breakfast from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., and you'll join a lot of your friends out there because everybody's heading to the Readable Mill right now, and it's completely encompassed by the Stone River there. And just enjoy yourself. Lay back, get away from all the stress of the downtown life, and just... you owe it to yourself to go out that one day a week, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be glad you did. Have you ladies been out there yet?
Ronnie's going this weekend.
I'm going tomorrow morning with my husband and friends.
Oh, you out there.
Yeah, I'm kind of like an advertisement for the Reedyville Mill right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going tomorrow.
Are you going to go out and search for more people to join your reading program? Because I tell you what, Tom Brady would be an excellent person.
Really? Well, there. I'll just write his name down and say that you recommended him.
Yes, put him down, and he really did the whole meal there.
John who?
Tom Brady.
Oh, Tom
Brady. T-O-M.
See what my brain is spelling. Yeah, that'd be great. We'd love to have him. We're always looking for volunteers to work with Read to Succeed, particularly our adult literacy program, if there's folks out there who would like to volunteer to teach readers. And then we're also looking, it's the same phone number for people who would like help to learn to read better. And people can call it 738-7323.
738-READ.
738-READ. So... well, I may have a hard time putting that with the number.
738-7323.
Now, I know a good person, Lisa, Bud Mitchell. He would be a great person to come in and teach some of those classes because he loves to get involved in the community. And of course, Bud's like my brother. We grew up together. And I was telling you earlier, I never called him anything but Bud as long as I've known him, well over 60 years, and he never called me anything but Butch. And of course, we were named after our fathers. Both of us were. And you're probably part of my family now.
I guess I am. I guess you had to adopt me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he tells me all the time I'm his favorite daughter-in-law, but since I'm his only one, that kind of... I still take
and
it
you
as a
have
compliment.
I want to compliment you on your son. He is the nicest boy. I see him a lot of times over at Publix, and I see him over at the store, at the tire store, and he is always the nicest and most mannerly young man.
Well, I appreciate that. You made my day. Of course, I'm proud of him.
Of course you are.
It's always good to hear somebody else brag on your children.
Well, now, we were talking about resources, and I brought that up earlier. And it's fascinating to me. This is actually a real complicated program that you have going on here. And it requires a lot of people that to be involved with it.
Right. And as Ronnie was saying, we have a very small staff, only three part-timers and two full-time volunteers. We have two AmeriCorps Vistas. And other than that, we rely on our collaborations with all of our other community organizations that we're, constantly partnering with, just everybody from Greenhouse to the Boys and Girls Club to the libraries, the schools we've mentioned, et cetera. And then beyond that, it's grant writing and just donations from the general public and this one fundraiser that we have a year, which is our Celebrity Bee coming up on November the 15th that we've already been talking about. So that's what we do to raise the funds for all the programs we've been talking about.
Now, we've talked a lot about in schools, but there are you have a great adult program. And we were talking about what the is there an age limit and where do you get your people as far as the ones who are needing to read more than others?
We get a lot of referrals from the schools, parents that come looking for extra help. We get when we're actually working in the schools, a lot of times that we'll have an opportunity to talk with parents and they'll want to improve their own skills so that they can help their children more. We are always out in the community at as many events that we can participate in, with our information tables. We had a table at the Reading Rally, National Night Out, any type activity like that we can just get the information into people's hands, and we really rely on the community who knows about our programs and knows of a need or knows someone that could use our help to just get our name and our number in their hands, and if they'll just give us a call, we'll take it from there.
Do you test the individual before you start working with them?
We'll do an evaluation. Mm-hmm. We try not to use the word test.
Yes,
it's a very scary
test. Four-letter word.
it is kind of like a four-letter word. We just really, it's nothing to be scared about. We'll just talk with someone who is interested in becoming a learner, and from there we kind of get an idea of where we should start. Mm-hmm. And over time, as the tutor-learner pair become more comfortable with each other, we might do some evaluation so that we can help that learner to the very, very best of our ability. Also, if a learner comes in and says what they really want to do is to be able to balance their checkbook or to pass the driver's test or to read to their child or to read some of the Bible, then we'll focus on that desire, their need.
Now, do you feel like that you need a rapport with the teacher and the student at the time? If you have one where you don't seem to, they don't seem to be able to gel together.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally that happens, and we just will reassign the learner to a different tutor. That's all, not a big deal, but I do think that the tutor and the learner need to feel connected in a way where there's trust. And where the tutor can trust that the learner really does care about learning, and where the learner really feels like they can get what they need from the tutor.
And we have some very special relationships that grow out of those pairs. We do at least once a year a dinner where we bring the tutor's family and the learner's family together and let them, you know, spend even more time together. And Ronnie, would you mind sharing your story about one of those dinners where the little girl,
I love that story. This is a sweet story. So we were having one of our dinners, this was a couple of years ago, and we invited all the learners and their families and the tutors and their spouses to just come and have a casual dinner. And afterward, we were kind of telling stories as a group about things that had been accomplished or fun things that we had done. There was a fellow who was really, really committed to doing the test that you do to become a citizen, citizenship mm-hmm. test. Mm-hmm. And then
pretty tough.
Very tough. And he, I mean, this guy was studying. I couldn't pass it. Mm-hmm. That's the honest truth. And anyway, this young girl got up with her sweet little braids, and she must have, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9. And she just said publicly to this group, "I want to thank my daddy's tutor for teaching him to learn how to read."
Oh.
And it was the sweetest thing. Mm. And we were all just choked up, and it was so meaningful. And she, this wasn't staged. This was real from the heart. And it was,
this is a
precious
little girl that now her dad could read bedtime stories.
Yeah. And help her with her homework. You know,
and,
yeah.
And another just real recent story, we mentioned Reading in the Schools Day last week, and we actually had a tutor learner pair go to one of the classrooms, and the learner read to the class, and you know, he was very humble and explained to the class that he'd been working with Read to Succeed so that he could read, and that he didn't take advantage of the opportunities when he was in school, and he mm-hmm. really encouraged them to do so, and got very, very big step on his part to get mm-hmm. up in front of that classroom and read, and a huge accomplishment for his tutor. And so there's a lot of we get to share a lot of joy.
And this is exactly what the Celebrity Bee is raising money to make happen, is to make these stories continue and resonate in our community. Most communities don't have a Read to Succeed helping them to produce these kind of stories that will become legends, truly, and touch our hearts. The Celebrity Bee, of course, we're looking for those big sponsors. If you're a listener who is involved in a business and you want to get some great advertising for your business, sponsoring the Celebrity Bee is a great way to do it. You can call that number we've given out, 738-7323, or go to our website, which is read2succeed.org, and get in contact with us, let us know. But if you're a listener who doesn't have a business or doesn't have a family that's in a business or a friend in a business, every dollar helps. And mm-hmm. if $5 or $10, or maybe your walking group or your book group or your church group or your civic group wants to all get together, and maybe you heard me mention a speller who you think is really fabulous, maybe Pastor Windrow is someone that your group would like to say, you know what, we're going to all put in $5, or we're going to all put in $10, and boom, there's $100 for Read to Succeed. And that $100 can be used to buy materials for an adult learner, or can be used to buy materials for one of our family literacy programs, or to help us to create the Reading Rally or the Unplug and Read event. And you'll be doing your little part to make more of these stories come to light.
Now tell me about the lady that was in your program, and she went on to get her degree and then came back and took part in the program again.
There's a lady who, a young lady who, was one of our learners.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm so impressed that you remember that story. How have you heard this story?
You told it to me.
I told it to you. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. See, I don't remember what I'm saying right to left. and she, really came far and had such an experience that mm-hmm. she decided she wanted to become one of our volunteers. Mm-hmm. And she volunteered, I think, for over a year with us. And mm-hmm. honestly, I'm not sure if she's still volunteering, but we made a difference in her life, and then she helped turn around and make a difference in someone else's life.
Now, if you're listening out there, there are no restrictions as far as age or anything like that. And you were even telling me earlier, before we came on the air, about a 93 year-old woman that went through your reading program.
Yes, Miss Elizabeth was one of our learners. Anyone over the age of 18 can get a tutor. If you know someone younger than 18 who needs some help learning to read, they should contact the people at their home school. Wherever they go to school, they should talk to their teacher, their principal, about getting support at their school. But anybody 18 and up is welcome to join us. And Miss Elizabeth, I believe, was 93. Wow. Learned a lot and actually went and spoke to some of the Rotary Clubs with me for a short period of time.
That's amazing.
It's never too late.
No. And if you're at home and they're listening, and at what would they be looking at as far as if they felt like that they really need to improve their reading and their ability to understand what they're reading? What should they look at home when they're thinking about it before they make a call? Nothing.
Just call.
Yeah, just call. I mean, and you don't have to think that you're making a big commitment. I mean, the time is really up to you. And of course, you'll progress faster the more time you put into it. But if you can only, meet a couple of times a month for a couple of hours, then you're still going to get that much further along. You know, if you don't ever start, you're definitely not going to start making progress. So there's really, if you need the help and you're willing to put some time in to improve, then that's all you have to think about. Just pick up the phone and call us.
Okay, now when they call and then the appointment is made for them to start, do they come to a certain place or do they do it at home?
We don't go to the homes. Okay. They'll meet at a neutral site, which we have many places around town where we use space as well as the Literacy Center, correct? And but we actually have done a tutor training recently, and we have tutors waiting. So we just need learners. We're ready. Sometimes we have more learners waiting, and we haven't gotten all the tutors up and trained. But right now, we have plenty of tutors, and we just need some people to come learn.
And those meetings, like Lisa was saying, always take place at a time and a place that is convenient to the learner. So if you don't have a car, we'll find a place that you can walk to, and someone will meet you there. The tutor will meet you there.
And people have probably seen our pairs all over town. I mean, you'll see them at the libraries. You'll see them at churches. Just various organizations around town will let us use space so that people can have private spaces. And if you see a couple of people been over a book and working together, more than likely that's some of our tutor learner pairs.
Yeah, I can't think of a better place to meet somewhere than a library. I mean, that would be the basis of all of it.
But making that call and meeting with a tutor, that's really hard. It's a hard thing to do. And someone who wants to learn to read, it's a very courageous step to make that call. And it might be that we have a listener who wants to make the call and maybe has a place in the community that they're comfortable with. And it might not be the library, because maybe they don't go in the library because they don't feel comfortable in the library. Maybe for them it is their church, or it is some local coffee place where they, grab a muffin, or wherever it is. We will make it a comfortable situation for the learner.
It's always amazed me. I can understand how somebody could slip through the cracks when they're younger and going up through school. But when you get at the university level, I've always been amazed how an individual could reach that far in his education and still not be able to read. Now, I remember, this has been a few years ago, but there was a football player that was playing in the NFL, a star football player. He had a degree in college, but yet he couldn't read at all.
Aww.
And I've just wondered, how in the world can that happen? Because you can't do your other studies without your ability to read.
I can't speak to how football players are treated, or at least you probably don't.
Oh, I'm not saying
you
anything.
Probably don't want me to speak on that. But what I would say is that most of our listeners can read, and what they need to understand is that people who can't read aren't stupid. The problem isn't that they're stupid. The problem just is that they haven't learned to read. And in fact, lots of adults who can't read are very bright. Think about what it takes to get along in the world without being able to read. Most people don't know they can't read. They've figured out how to, and if you're a listener and you can't read well, you know what I'm talking about. You have figured out a way to get through life without people really knowing that you can't read. That is a very stressful place to be. And Read to Succeed will help you to get out of that stressful place so that your skills can be just enough better so that you don't have to fake it so much anymore.
And what Ronnie said made me think of another story. Another program that we've been doing lately is health and literacy forums, which when I first mentioned that to some friends, it was like, what does that have to do with Read to Succeed? Well, it obviously, you know, we're doing a lot of medical things now where same day surgery and you go home with, you know, two or three sheets of instructions, etc. If you're one of that 44% that can't read above a third grade level and you take home those list of instructions, there's some pretty high odds that you're not going to follow your medical instructions correctly and you're going to end up back at the doctor's office or back in the emergency room, etc. And we've had a couple of literacy forums where we've actually had a panel with a doctor, a pharmacist, and some social workers, etc., to talk about these issues. And we've got another one hopefully going to be planned in the spring at Stonecrest, which should be our next one. But all that to say, Dr. Patel was one of our panelists, and he told a story at two different forums that he spoke at about a patient that he had had for, I think it was almost 10 years before, and that it was a very close relationship with this patient, and it was almost 10 years before the gentleman felt comfortable enough to let him know that he couldn't read. And all of a sudden, a lot of the problems that they'd been having with medical instructions, etc., over the years became clear as to what the problem was, but he was able to hide it from his physician for all those years.
Is the biggest problem not being able to read once you become an adult, is it, do they know the words as they read? I mean, they can read out loud and you can understand what they're reading, but do they really understand what they're reading? Do they link it together?
There's a big difference between being able to read the words and knowing what those words are saying to you as well.
Yeah, we have plenty of folks, even kids in our schools, where comprehension is the issue. Sometimes we push kids to move more quickly than they're ready to move. They can sound out the words and they can read a sentence, but don't necessarily know what it means. And so, of course, our tutors work to make sure that our learners are comprehending.
You know, we were pushing speed reading there for a while, and I have never understood why anybody would want to do that. And is that a quality of way to read?
Not that I can imagine, unless that's something you just happen to be really good at. We could try speed spelling at the Celebrity Bee if you want. You want to come back on and spell?
I can spell speed.
Okay.
As long as you
that big
the
a problem.
Speed,
yeah.
Well, that's good. I bet your listeners would love to come to the Celebrity Bee if you were going to be there to spell again. Maybe you could be a special guest speller.
I'm still taking pills because of that last one. You guys were so bad to me.
See, spelling can be very, very stressful. But if you are interested in seeing the bee, with or without Mr. Truman Jones up on the stage, it is November 15th at Patterson Park Community Center. Five Senses will be providing dinner, it is $50 a ticket, both for the dinner and the bee, for folks who actually want to come. But I do want to stress that if you just want to support a speller for $5 or $10 or $25, that we're happy to do that too, and we'll make sure that WGNS has a list of the winners, and that you can go to the WGNS website after the spelling bee and see some highlights from the bee.
And I hope some of it is watching some of our well-known people up there squirming like I did. Because I'll gladly pay $50 just watch some of them go up there and go through what I did.
You know, we've had just the very, very best people in this community who are willing to get up on that stage and stress about this. Sydney McPhee, our president of the university, Chief Glenn Chrisman, Mayor Tommy Bragg, all these people have gotten up there and spelled. And
how well did they do?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, concerned, if you step up on the stage, you have done a good job.
You didn't answer my question.
They did fine. I mean, really, all three of those people made it a few rounds, and they did fine.
Sydney had an advantage over everybody. Well, I'll guarantee you he had tutors before he ever got up there.
Well, and it was kind of funny because Dr. McPhee spelled the same year that Lightning spelled. We had Lightning come and be a special guest. Of course, as you all know, Lightning doesn't actually
speak. Did he use his feet? That's counting, though, isn't it?
He kind of used his wings to flap. Mm-hmm. But so Dr. McPhee's goal was to stay in longer than Lightning, and he did achieve that goal. So, you know, that's cool. But really, it's not about once they get up there how well people can spell. We just want folks in the community to understand that if Dr. McPhee is willing to get up on a stage and try to spell, that he really believes literacy is very, very important, and he wants us all to stay in school and to read to our children and to do what we can to support the local literacy initiative.
I know that you guys get a lot out of this. You've seen something special happen in the classroom or out in the library or wherever they are, the venue that they are at the time. Do you feel like that's one of those goals that you've reached, each and every one of them, that has been able to succeed and achieve a level that a lot of them probably thought were impossible, because we're talking about older people who just pushed it out of their mind and they just go on with it without thinking, but knowing it, I'm sure just dreaming it, they could reach that level that a lot of other people have.
That's the true reward of this job. I mean, I think, you know, I spent over 20 years in the corporate world before I decided to do this, and I thought I knew how rewarding it would be just from what I knew about the programs, but I can't begin to describe just walking through the Literacy Center, seeing pairs working, watching their improvement from week to week, and it just I told a good friend just last week that I've never worked harder or been tireder in my life, but I've never been happier, and it's for that reason right there, just watching people make those improvements and improve their skills.
A person's self-esteem.
Yes.
E-S-T-E-E.
Can you spell that for me?
It means a lot to them. Yeah. It really does. And if you feel good about yourself, I mean,
and you just watch that confidence grow.
Yeah, it is great.
And I'm sure Ronnie has just a whole book of, you should write a book of your experiences.
I'll put that on my to-do list.
On your to-do list, since you're, you know.
I'll edit it for you.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah. I'm going to quit in a minute. I want to let you know that the last part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle & Howerton Automotive, and they're at 2006 North Main Street in Shevable, Tennessee. And you can reach them at 1-800-264-6800, toll free. 1-800-264-6800, toll free. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, take about a 15-20 minute drive towards Shevable on 231 South, and it'll be on your left before you get into town. And if you would like to put it up on the internet before you leave, it's PirtleHowerton.com. And when you go in, tell the people that we sent you, and I'll guarantee you, you'll have a great time while you're there, and you'll enjoy the ride going, and you'll enjoy it even better coming back, because you're going to be in a brand new car.
Hi, I'm Dr. Patrick Showalter.
And I'm Dr. Chad Jackson. Did you know that Middle Tennessee Medical Center is home to the Da Vinci Surgical Robot, and that we are the first surgeons to use the robot in Rutherford County?
When faced with prostate cancer, the Da Vinci robot makes surgery an excellent option.
It allows for quicker recovery, less blood loss, and studies suggest it may be the most effective, least invasive treatment option for improving cancer outcomes.
For more information or to find a Da Vinci Robot certified physician, visit mtmc.org.
Hi, this is Chuck Lewis with First Bank in Murfreesboro.
And Jim Bryan of First Bank in Smyrna.
Did you know that Social Security and other federal benefits are moving to a paperless system?
If you're currently receiving a paper check from the government and want to know more about how you can make the transition to direct deposit, stop by your local First Bank branch or call 890-1111 in Murfreesboro or 267-1111 in Smyrna.
That's 890-1111 or 267-1111. First Bank, member FDIC.
Are you thinking about retirement living for yourself or a loved one? Think Adams Place in Murfreesboro. retirement and assisted living, rehabilitation, and long-term care are available on their picturesque campus. Think it's too expensive? Think again. Adams Place Assisted Living starts as low as $100 a day. If you need a vacation, take advantage of Assisted Living's respite care for your loved one. Adams Place Retirement Community in Murfreesboro. Senior living at its finest.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
This has been a really great show, and we did, we were remiss in not telling you who one of the major sponsors is this year.
Yeah, our major sponsor for the 2011 All-Star Celebrity Bee is the law firm of Kias Rogers, Barger & Holder. And they
John Rogers.
Yeah, John Rogers. You know John?
You know him well.
He's a good boy. He spelled for us one year. They are our $5,000 sponsors this year.
Yeah, actually, John is a little bit kin to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
And you admit that on the radio?
Well, actually, I spelled better than he did. And he won't admit it, but I really did. And they are super nice people, the whole firm is. Well, this show has gone too fast again. And Lisa and Ronnie, I really appreciate y'all. Were really great.
Well, thank
and
you for
really
your time
were.
Having
it,
us.
It was a lot of fun, and I want to thank you for all that you do for the community. And when it gets into education and for a person's ability to read, I can't think of anything that's more vital right now. And I really appreciate all the efforts that you both put in. I know it's hard work. It's difficult work. You throw yourself into it, and you should be rewarded for it.
Well, we appreciate that, and WGNS has always supported Read to Succeed. It's a long and fruitful relationship, and we appreciate it.
And Bart loves it, I guarantee you. I mean, Bart is...
Bart's the man.
Bart is in there 100%.
He is, and Scott's a good egg, and Brian. Brian's a good boy.
Yeah, Brian is okay. But he's a better sportsman. Oh, man.
And,
yes, sir.
And Jeff Jordan is a huge supporter of Read to Succeed, was on our board a long time, and has always been there for us, too.
I can tell you, Jeff Jordan is one of the brightest people I know, but he cannot work the crypto quotes. Every time I see him, he's worked one, I have to finish it for him. If he's listening, I want to let him know.
Well, we love you, Jeff.
We'll see you next week at 2 o'clock on Monday.